B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Erev in Daf Nun. We're going to start 7 lines from the bottom of Mem Tes Amud Beis, immediately after the Mishnah. We saw in the Mishnah, on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, if somebody was stranded, or maybe wasn't stranded, he was on the way approximately 4,000 amos from his home, and he realized Shabbos was about to set in, and he would not make it home in time for Shabbos. So he says, I've got an idea. I know that approximately 2,000 amos from where I am now, there's a tree, and I'm going to just verbally express that I would like my residence to be, virtually speaking, as we've seen in Tchumen, it works that way, I would like my residence to be under that tree, and then where I am now is less than 2,000 amos from that tree, and that tree is less than 2,000 amos from my home, and that way I'll be able to go 2,000 amos around that tree, allowing me to go home. However, the Mishnah says that if somebody says that I would like my residence to be under a tree, shvisosi tachtov loy omar klum, he hasn't said anything. And we have to really understand, what does it mean he hasn't said anything? What exactly hasn't he said? Says the Gemara, my loy omar klum. When the Gemara says, when the Mishnah said loy omar klum, he's not said anything, what does that mean? And this is going to be a machloikus Rav and Shmuel. Omar Rav, loy omar klum kol ikar. Rav says he hasn't said anything. He has not acquired any residence, not under the tree, and not where he is now. Which means that for all intents and purposes, he's not allowed to walk more than 4 amos after Shabbos comes in. Because he didn't want to acquire residence where his feet are, where he is, because he said he wants to acquire residence under the tree. He didn't. Legally, we did not allow him to acquire residence under the tree because the tree is a large area. He didn't define where he wants to acquire his residence. So that, for all intents and purposes, he has no residence, and therefore he's not allowed to go more than 4 amos where he is now. Dafilu letachtov shel ilon leimotzi ozil, which means that even where he is now, he has not acquired residence, which means he cannot even go 2,000 amos towards the tree. Ushmuel Omar. Shmuel argues with Rav and says, Lo Omar klum lebeisoi, that we cannot take it for granted that he can actually go to his home, because what he said may pose a challenge to that. Avol letachtov shel ilon motzi ozil, which means as follows, since there's less than 2,000 amos from where he is now until the tree, he can certainly walk to the tree. And Shmuel holds that he has acquired residence under the tree. However, since the tree is very wide, then we don't know which 4 amos of the area under the tree he actually acquired residence. We assume that the entire tree is less than 2,000 amos from where he is when Shabbos came in. So either way, wherever under the tree his residence is, he can walk from where he is now at the onset of Shabbos till the tree. However, only part of the tree is within 2,000 amos from where his home is. It could be that part of the tree is further than 2,000 amos from his home. And since he did not tell us explicitly which 4 amos under the tree are going to be his residence, we cannot take it for granted he can actually make it home. He can only make it home if there are less than 2,000 amos between his home and the furthest point under the tree away from his home. And that's what the Gemara now says, V'naseh tachtov shel ilon chamar gamol. And we've seen this concept before. Chamar gamol. Chamar is a donkey driver. A gamol is a camel driver. We know that typically when a person is leading a donkey, he is behind the donkey. When he's leading a camel, he's in front of the camel. So if he's leading a donkey and a camel simultaneously, then he's actually pulled between the donkey pulling him forward and the camel pulling him backwards. The area under the tree, since we do not know which part of the tree is his residence, because he just said shvisosi tachtov, he didn't tell us which part of the tree is going to be his residence. Therefore, we have to always be stringent. If you want to, the Gemara is going to explain, bo limdoid min atzofin, moididim lo min adorim. If he wants to walk 2,000 amis north of the tree, then on the basis of the tree being the center of his residence, then he has to do that. He has to measure it. Moedidim lo min adorim, from the southernmost point of the tree, he can only walk 2,000 amos from there. Because since he didn't tell us where under the tree his residence is, maybe his residence is on the southernmost part of the tree. So if you want to walk north, you can only walk 2,000 amos from the southernmost point of the tree. And the same vice versa. Bo limdoid min adorim, if he wants to walk south of the tree, moedidim lo min atzofin, he has to measure from the northernmost point of the tree. So that's what Shmuel says, that you can definitely go till the tree because the entire tree is less than 2,000 amos from where he is when Shabbos came in. But from the tree to his home, you can only walk on condition that the home is within 2,000 amos from the part of the tree that's furthest from the home when Shabbos is furthest from the home, is, and that's less than 2,000 amos. Omar Rabba. Rabba is going to explain my Tama de Rav. The reasoning behind Shmuel, it makes sense. You wanted to acquire residence under the tree. You acquired residence. You didn't make it clear where under the tree. So it's one big suffix. You have to act as if you're in doubt as to where under the tree your residence is. However, Rav says that you didn't acquire residence anywhere. That needs an explanation. So Rav is going to explain, my Tama de Rav, Mishum Deloy Masayim Asrei. Rav holds that since you did not define a specific 4 amos under the tree, therefore you have not acquired residence under the tree. Ve'ikad Omra, Omar Rabba, others, another version, and others explain that what Rabba actually explained was my Tama de Rav, Mishum de Kosovar, Kol She'enei B'zeh Achar Zeh, Afilu B'vas Achas Enoi. Others explain Rav as being that when this person says Shvisosi Tachtov, he actually meant to say, I want to acquire residence under the whole area of the tree, even though a person only acquires residence in 4 amos. So he says, even though there's a number of 4 amos areas under this tree, I would like to acquire residence in all of them. And there's a rule that anything that you cannot do, anything that cannot take effect consecutively, also cannot take effect simultaneously. And since a person cannot acquire residence in place A and then in place B, once you've acquired residence, that remains your residence for Shabbos. So too, you cannot simultaneously acquire residence in more than one area of 4 amos. Since this person said, I want to acquire residence under the tree, and under the tree has more than one spot of 4 amos, therefore, he's not acquired residence anywhere under the tree, and therefore, he's got no residence there. Asks the Gemara, Mai Beinayu, is there any halachic difference between the two versions if the reason that Rav says he's not acquired residence under the tree is because it's not defined or because he's trying to acquire residence in two places simultaneously? Says the Gemara, yes, Ika Beinayu, there is a difference. To Omar, Liknu li arba amois begoy shmoino. If for argument's sake the tree was 8 amos wide, if a person said, I would like to acquire residence in 4 of the 8 amos, he doesn't tell us which 4. According to the Manda Omar Mishum Deloy Masayim Asrei, according to the first opinion of Rabba, who says the reason Rav says you have not acquired residence is because you have not defined the 4 amos, here also, Holoy Masayim Asrei, you have not defined which 4 amos and where the 4 amos are. Manda Omar, but the opinion who says that the reason Rav says that he has not acquired residence is Mishum Kol She'enei B'zeh Achazeh Afilu B'vas Achas Enoi, anything that cannot take effect simultaneously, consecutively, also cannot take effect simultaneously. But that's only a problem if you try to acquire residence in, so to speak, 2 places at once, in all 8 amos at once. Over here, he does not want to acquire residence in 8 amos. He only wants to acquire residence in 4 amos. He just hasn't told us which 4 amos. But he only wants to acquire residence in one area of 4 amos. Hocha ka arba amis, Tommy. The hocha arba amis, Komar. Since over here he said, I only want to acquire residence in 4 amos, it's as if he has acquired residence in 4 amos, and the area of his tchum will be valid. There will still be a doubt which 4 amos, the north or the south, and then he'll have to act with a suffix. But either way, gufa, And now the Gemara is going to challenge this rule that the Ikkad Omra, the second version of Rabbah, said that anything that cannot be done consecutively also cannot be done simultaneously. There's going to be a few challenges in the Gemara to this rule. Gufa Omer Rabbah, kol dovol she'enei b'zeh achazer afilu b'vas achas enoi, eisve Abaye l'Rabbah. Abaye is now going to challenge Rabbah's rule. We learnt in a brisa, Hamarbe b'maisres. The Torah says that after taking truma from produce, you have to take maiser. Maiser is 10% of the produce has to be given to the levy. What happens if somebody takes 11%, 15%, anything more than 10% from his produce? Piraisov musukonim. Continues the Gemara, the Gemara is now going to challenge Rabbah's rule that anything that cannot be done consecutively can also not be done simultaneously from a number of sources. Gufa Omar Rabbah kol dovor she'enei b'zeh achazer afilu b'vasachas enoi. Eisve Abaye l'Rabbah. Abaye is asking against Rabbah from the following brisa. Hamarbe b'maisrois peirosov mesukonim u'masrosov mekulkolim. And this goes as follows. A person who's got 102 apples, and the halacha is 2% has to be given to a kohen for truma. He could give more, but let's assume he's giving 2% to the kohen. He's given 2 of the 102 apples to the kohen. Of the remaining 100 apples, he has to give 10 to the levi, called Maaser Rishon. And the Torah tells us explicitly, exactly 10, not more, not less. What happens if this person gave, he separated, not 10 apples, he separated 12 apples for Maaser Rishon? The remaining 88 apples are clearly not tevel because mice has been separated from them. However, the status of mice has only applied to 10 of those 12 apples. 2 of those 12 apples are not mice, and also mice hasn't been taken against them for them, so it's 2 apples of tevel mixed into 10 apples of mice. So the Brisa says, Hamarbe b'maisris, peiros of masukim, the 88 apples, they are all fixed. They are fit for consumption. You can eat them. But the 12 apples he's taken for Maisa, they are ruined. You're not allowed to eat any of them because any of the 12 apples could be the one of those two, which are Tevel. And our buyer is asking, am I? Why is the other 88 apples, why are they fit and fixed? Why can you eat them? Lema, why don't you say, in the same way as if you would take Maisa, first he would have only taken 10 apples Maisa of the 100, and then he would take another 2 for Maisa, of course they would be totally invalid, the other 2, because you cannot take Maisa more than 10. So if so, here too, why don't you say that when you take 12 apples for Maisa, it's as if, according to Rabbah's rule, that anything that cannot be done consecutively can also not be done simultaneously, and consecutively, you cannot take twice Maisa, taking more Maisa even together simultaneously should render the whole Maisa as being invalid. And if the whole Maisa is invalid, then even the 88 apples are still Tevel. And this seems to be a question against Rabbah's rule. Answers the Gemara, Shani Maisa de Asya Lechatzoin. Di Omar, Tiktoish Palgo de Chitza Kocha. With Maisa, we have an interesting concept, and that is that even if you took off 12 apples, the Maisa could be valid, and it's not a contradiction of only taking 10% of the apples. Because what could be is that you're taking 12 apples, and what you mean is that only a certain percentage of each of the 12 apples is Maisa, and all those percentages together adding up to 10 apples. So even though I separated 12 apples, and of course if I made all 12 apples Maisa, it could be they're not valid, because you cannot take more than 10. However, if I take 12 and I intend that only most of each apple should be Maisa, it would be valid. And the Gemara brings even proof from a saying. I mean, if somebody said, Tikdesh palga dechitza, if a person says half of every single grain should be Maisa, then it's kocha. then it's valid. And since it's possible to take the 12 apples and all 12 apples are part of the Maisa, therefore it's not a contradiction to Rabba's rule. And therefore, even if you take them simultaneously, the Maisa could be valid. However, every single apple you're not allowed to eat, Maisrais of Mukul Kolin, because every apple is now partly Maisa, partly Tevel. So the Braisa is still accurate that Peirais of Masukonim and Maisrais of Mukul Kolin, but they are not a contradiction to Rabba's rule. Continues the Gemara, we're going to ask another question on this concept of Rabba, that anything that cannot be done consecutively can also not be done simultaneously. Vari Maisa Behema. We know this, the Pasuk says, the Torah says, that if a person, he's got herd or flock of animals, then every tenth animal is called Maisa. He has to let all the animals go through a very narrow doorway that just one of them goes through at a time. Every tenth one, he says, this is Maisa. He makes a red mark on it. Afterwards, he takes all the red marked animals to the Beis HaMikdash as a korban and eats them there as a korban. That's called Maisa. So ask the Gemara. Vare Maisa Behema. In the case of Maisa Behema, Deleisa Lechatzoin. There's no such thing. We don't have this idea that we saw before with Maisa, that with Maisa of produce, of apples, of fruits, that you can have part of an apple being Maisa, part of an apple not being Maisa. With an animal, there's no such thing. Either the whole animal is Maisa, or none of the animal is Maisa. V'omar Rabba. And yet, Rabba said the following halacha. Yotzu shnaim ba'asiri. If somehow two animals simultaneously went through the doorway when he was counting 10, the koron asiri, and he designated both of them as maisa, as a tenth animal, then asiri v'achados or mu'rovin ze b'ze. The loch is, it's as if number 10 and number 11 are intermingled together. Both of them are going to be hektish, but you have to be machmir. It means you have to offer both as a korban, but since only one of them is definitely hektish, the other one is a shlomim, he has to have the halachas, or the more stringent halachas of both animal, both of maisa and of shlomim. So what do we see from there? Even though a person can clearly not say that animal number 10 is maisa and animal number 11 is maisa, so, and that means you cannot do it consecutively, have two animals being Maisa, then why, when they are going through simultaneously, are any of them Maisa? Why don't we say that anything that cannot be done consecutively cannot be done simultaneously, and they're both not Maisa, according to Rabba's rule? Answers the Gemara that there's a very unique halacha that applies to Maisa, and that is, it's possible sometimes for an 11th animal to be considered to have the Kedusha of Maisa. Shani Maisa Behema, the Asya Bazeh Achazeh Betos. It's possible, even though the Torah says you're only allowed to take the 10th animal is Maisa, not the 9th, not the 11th. However, if somebody made a mistake, we'll soon see in a moment what the case is. If he made a mistake, it's possible for number 11 also to be Maisa, or to have the Kedusha of Maisa. And therefore, since regarding Maisa, even consecutively, two animals could have the kedusha of the tenth animal, so too, when they go through simultaneously, they can both have the kedusha, and the maisa is valid. Shani maisa behema de asya bezeach azeh betos detnan, we learned in the Mishnah, koro l'chi'i asiri. If by mistake he called number 9, 10, the tenth one, ul asiri, and then he realized his mistake, and then when the tenth animal came about, he called it number 9. The ninth animal, ula achados or asiri, and then by mistake, when the 11th one came out, instead of going back to number 11, he went back to number 10. So now you have more than one animal called 10. The 11th animal, you also called it 10, because it was after the 10th animal that you called 9. The reason you did that was because the 9th animal you called 10. Shloshton mekudoshin. All three animals are kodesh, are holy, they're consecrated, and they have the kedusha of Maisa. Number 9 is Maisa because you called it the 10th. The 10th is Maisa because it's the 10th. The 11th is Maisa because you called it 10. So you see from there that it's possible to have more than one animal consecutively being called Maisa, so too simultaneously, if they go through the door together, they can also be Maisa. And now the Gemara is going to ask one last question on Rabbah's rule. Vari toida. In the case of the toida, we know that when a person brings a korban toida, he has to accompany it with 40 chalos, 40 breads. Vari toida de leisa betos. There's no such thing as having two sets of 40 breads that both sets are kodesh. De leisa bezeh chazeh. And there's never a way in the world that one can have consecutively two sets of 40 breads that are going to become tomei. They're going to become kodesh, sorry. V'itmar. And we learnt, toida shenishchato al shmoinim chalos. If somebody shechted a korban toida with being accompanied by 80 loaves, not 40 loaves, chizki omar, kitshu alo arboim mitoich shmoinim. Chizkiah says 40 of the 80 breads are kodesh for the korban toida. Rabbi Yechanon says that none of the breads are kodesh. However, according to Chizkiah, Chizkiah says 40 of the 80 are kodesh. Why? Because when you shechted the korban toida, you had 80 breads there. And of the 80, 40 are going to be kodesh. The problem is, the question is, according to Rabbah, that anything that cannot be done consecutively cannot be done simultaneously. And if you consecutively, you first made 40 breads kodesh and then another 40 breads kodesh, Rashi explains exactly how that would work, how the breads become kodesh. But if you did it consecutively, they certainly would not be valid. They would not be hekdesh, the second set. If so, and you have one set of 80, why should any of them be hekdesh, according to Rabbah? Answers the Gemara, Ha'itma alo, Omer Reb Zeira, Hakil Moedim. Reb Zeira explains that everybody agrees, Heicha da Omer likatru arboim mitoich shmoinim. If he said, I only want 40 of these 80 breads to be kodesh, de kodshi, then they are kodesh. Then it's okay, because he never wanted more than 40 to be kodesh. He didn't want two sets to be kodesh simultaneously. He just wanted 40 of the 80. If he said, Lo yekatru arboim, elem kein kitru shmoinim, if he says, I only want all 80 together to be kodesh, or none, then everybody agrees, kule alma loy pligi, deloy kodshi, that none of them are kodesh, because there's no such thing as having 80 breads. There is only korban toida with 40 breads. Ki pligi bistoma. The whole machlekas was when he didn't say anything explicitly. Mar sova chizkiya holds, la'achrayas kamachavan, that we assume that he intended that only 40 of the 80 to be kodesh, and the only reason he brought 80 was in case something went wrong. If 40 got lost, disqualified, something happened to them, he'll have the extra 40 remaining to back them up. But he only wants 40 to become kodesh. Val tanai esua, and he brought them making a tanai, making a condition, and since he only ever wanted 40 to be kodesh, therefore Chizkiah said that 40 are kodesh. Umar Sova, however, Rabbi Yochanan argued and says, the korban gadol kamachavin, he brought 80 because he intended all 80 to be kodesh, and everybody agrees that all 80 cannot be kodesh. Either way, now that Rav Zeira has explained these halachas, then neither of these halachas contradicts Rabbah's rule, because he's not intending to simultaneously be mekadesh more than 40 breads, and therefore there's no question on Rabbah's rule. Continues the Gemara. And now we're going back to what Rav said at the bottom of Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis that we started today's shir with. Omer Abaya, lo yishonu. This that Rav said, that if you designate an undefined area to be your place of residence when Shabbos comes in, lo yomer klum, you have not acquired residence, because it was totally undefined. According to the first opinion of Rabbah, the reason is because it was totally undefined. It's only true if the area underneath the tree is at least 12 amos wide. But in the event that the tree is less than 12 amos wide, Hari miktas beisoy nikar. Why did Rav say that he has not acquired residence? Because he's not defined his residence. However, if the tree is less than 12 amos, then part of his residence is very defined. Because let's take the middle 4 amos of the tree. They are overlapping the right-hand 4 amos by half an amma and the left-hand 4 amos by half an amma, because there's only 11 ammas altogether. So if his residence is on the right-hand side, the rightmost part of the tree, then the leftmost half an amma is within the middle 4 ammas. If he designated, if he intended to designate the leftmost 4 ammas, then the rightmost, the half an amma on the right of those 4 ammas are also in the middle 4 ammas. And if he designated the middle 4 ammas, then also his residence is in the middle 4 ammas. So at least part of his residence is within the middle 4 ammas, and that seems to be very defined. So that's what Abaya said, that Rav's ruling is only if the tree is 12 ammas or more wide, in which case the three possibilities of 12 ammas, or 4 ammas, sorry, they are not overlapping each other at all. And therefore, his residence is totally undefined. However, Abul Be'ilon She'in Tacht of Shtemes Re'amo, Hare Mikzas Beisei Nikar, some of his residence is very recognizable, it's very defined, and therefore, his tchum, it will be valid, and he can then the area under the tree can be the center of his residence for tchumin. Maskiflo Rav Huna Bre Di Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna Bre Di Rav Yeshua is now asking against what Abaya said, that you Abaya, what you're saying is only true, assuming that the center, that the middle 4 ammas is his 4 ammas, then it's true. The middle 4 ammas is overlapped by the 4 ammas on either side. Like, on what basis are you assuming that he's defining his 4 ammas in the middle 4 ammas of this tree? Maybe he only intended to acquire residence on the rightmost 4 ammas, the leftmost 4 ammas, and there they don't overlap each other. And again, it's totally undefined. Ella Omer Rav Huna Bre Di Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna Bre Di Rav Yeshua said it a bit differently. Lo Yishonu, Rav's halacha, that a tchum that's in an undefined area under a tree is not valid at all, is Ella Be'ilon Shetacht of Shmoinu Amis. If there's at least 8 ammas under the tree, then it's true, because it could be that his residence is on the right-hand side of the tree. It could be it's on the left side. They do not overlap. So it's totally undefined where his residence is. Aval pe'ilon shetachto sheva amos, but a tree whose the entire area under it is 7 amos, hari miktas beisei nikar. Then whichever way you hold it, wherever you put 4 amos, the center amma is always going to be defined and included as his place of residence. And since part of his residence is defined, therefore it will be valid. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Kavasei de Rav, Tanya Kavasei de Shmuel. We're now going to actually bring a brisa backing up what Rav said, and a brisa backing up what Shmuel said. Tanya Kavasei de Rav. Where do we see in a brisa like Rav that Misha bo baderech v'chosh chaloi, if a person was traveling as it was getting dark Friday afternoon, v'hoyo makir iloy noigodir, and he recognized, he was aware of a specific tree or fence that was within 2,000 amos, both from where he is now and his home. V'omar, and he says, shvisosi tachtov, I would like my residence to be under it, and this is the same as we saw in the Mishnah. Lo yomar klum, he hasn't said anything. But if he said that I would like my residence to be in a very specific defined place, somewhere within 2,000 amis from where he is at the onset of Shabbos and 2,000 amis from his home, then he can walk until he reaches that specific defined place. When he reaches that place, then he can travel, if that place is an enclosed area, he can travel the entire area. And he can walk beyond it 2,000 amis. Since it was a defined place, that was he had acquired his residence there, and therefore his tchum was valid. And the Braisa continues, when is it true that he can walk around the entire area within where he's acquired residence and receive another 2,000 amis beyond it, is only b'mokim hamasuyam. It's only if the place, that specific defined place where he wants his residence to be valid, that it's only if it's a very defined place. which means that it's surrounded by partitions. Kagoin, for example, Sheshovas, Batel, Shugvaya, Sorotvochim. If this particular place, defined place, that he made his residence was on a mound that was 10 tfochim high. Vahu me'ar ba'amois v'ad beis asayim, since it was not, since the walls of the mound, which are considered its walls, they are not mukaf ladira, and therefore, since the walls were not made specifically for residential purposes, it can only be considered a confined area if it's up to beis asayim. So if the area is between Fuamis and Beis Asayim, it's considered a walled-in area. And then on Shabbos, he can walk around the entire area on top of the mound and beyond it 2,000 Amis. V'chein Biko, and so too if there's a valley, Shiyamuka Asora, if it's a 10 Tfachim deep, V'hi Me'ar Ba'amis at Beis Asayim, and it's anywhere between Fuamis wide and Beis Asayim, and 5,000 square amis in area, then he can walk around the entire area inside that, in within this valley, and 2,000 amis beyond it. Aval b'mokim she'einim mesuyam, if that specific designated area was not surrounded with partitions, ein le'elo arba amis, then he can only go 4 amis around it. And besides, for the 4 amis, he can go 2,000 amis beyond. When it says here that he ain lo elo arba amos, it doesn't mean he can only walk 4 amos. It just means, in contrast to what we saw a moment ago, that if an area is enclosed with legally valid walls, he can go around the entire area plus 2,000 amos beyond it. If, however, if the area does not have legal partitions, then he can only go 4 amos, and from there he can go another 2,000 amos as he would with tchum. And now the Bryce is just going off to another detail. Hayu shnayim, if there were two travelers together, echod makir ve'echod she'enei makir, one of them is familiar with the landmark 2,000 amis away and the other one not. Ze she'enei makir, moise shvisosei lemakir. The one that does not recognize and is not aware of a landmark, he tells his friend, I want my eruv, my place of residence, to be where you decide. And then, and his Vamakir Oimer, and the one that does recognize the landmark, he says, Shvisosi, or more accurately, Shvisoseinu, our residence, B'mokim Ployni, should be in such and such a unique, specific, defined place, and then the Tchum is valid. And now the Bryce is going back to the Halachas that we started with. B'med Vorim Amurim, when is it true that if a person has a specific defined landmark, then in the event that it's not surrounded by legally recognized partitions, then he gets 4 amis plus 2,000 amis. That's only kishasim arba amis shekova. That's only if he clearly defined where his place of residence is going to be. It's true that there are no walls to define it, but he has to say next to exactly at that point, that tree, the bark of that tree, that particular stone, that bench, wherever it is, it's got to be very clearly defined. However, if he did not clearly define the 4 amos that he wants to acquire his residence in, then the eruv was not valid, and he cannot go outside his 4 amos that he was when Shabbos came in. And these last words seem to follow what Rav said, that you can only make a tchum on a clearly defined area. If it's not defined, lo omar klum, the eruv is not valid. Says the Gemara, Leimetavet Yufta de Shmuel. Maybe this Brisa is actually a contradiction, a question, a refutation against Shmuel, that Shmuel said that even if it's not defined, the Eruv is still valid. We saw before that Shmuel said that even if you make an Eruv under a tree, and that's not a defined area, then the Eruv is valid. He just says you need to be stringent because you don't know where the 4 amis are. So whenever you measure, you have to take the shortest distance. But you definitely have 2,000 amis from the area under the tree. Omelecho Shmuel will answer as follows. Hocha b'mayaskinon, that Brisa is talking about kegoin de'ikah mokim raglov v'ad ikroi train alpha v'arba garmidi. We're talking about where part of the tree, that this undefined place, part of it is more than 2,000 amis away from where he is when Shabbos came in. And in that case, if a person says, I want my residence to be under that tree, and part of that tree is more than 2,000 amis away, of course it's not valid. So Rav said, So the Braisa just said it's not valid, and we assumed it was proof to Rav because it was undefined. Shmuel said, even if the problem is not whether it's defined or not, and even if I, Shmuel, would say that it could be that you acquired residence at any of the four amis under the tree, but that's only providing that all the four amis under the tree are within 2,000 amis from where he was when he made the Eruv, when Shabbos came in. If four amis are outside the 2,000 amis area, then even Shmuel will agree you cannot make a tchum outside, you cannot make an Eruv outside 2,000 amis. So since it's 2,000 amis and for 2,004 amis, and that in the event that your residence is going to be on the opposite side of the tree, on the far side of the tree, then it means you're going outside 2,000 amos from where you were when Shabbos came in, then Isaim arba amos motzi ozil. And therefore, that's what the Brayis has said. It's only if you clearly defined which four amis under the tree you want to acquire residence, and those four amis are within 2,000 amis of where you are, then it's valid. But if you do not clearly define them, and Shmuel holds that when you do not define it, then your Eruv is actually valid in any, or it could be, we have to assume that your Eruv may have been valid in any one of the areas of four amis, and since one of them are outside 2,000 amis, therefore the Eruv is not valid, even according to Shmuel. Tanya Kavosei de Shmuel. We're now going to bring a braisa that seems to be supporting Shmuel's opinion. Ta'av v'irev l'shtei ruchis. If somebody made a mistake, and he actually made an Eruv in two directions. Normally we know you can only make an Eruv in one direction, in one place. That one place becomes your center of residence. You can go 2,000 amis from there. But you cannot make an Eruv in two places. For example, if you're in a city and you want to go 4,000 amis and you're only allowed 2,000, you can either put an Eruv 2,000 amis on the east, and then on Shabbos you can go from where you are now till the Eruv 2,000 amis and 2,000 amis further east, or you can make an Eruv 2,000 amis to the west of where you are when Shabbos came in and go 4,000 amis to the west. But you cannot go 4,000 amis to the east and 4,000 amis to the west. So Tov Erev L'Shnei Shtei Ruchos, if by mistake he put two Eruvs. K'medumahu Shema'orvin Lo'i L'Shtei Ruchos, he thought that you can make an Eruv. He'll said, I'll put one Eruv on the west, one Eruv on the east, and on Shabbos morning I'll go 4,000 amis to the east, and Shabbos afternoon I'll go 4,000 amis to the west. There's no such thing, but he made a mistake, he didn't realize. Oy sha'omar la'avod of tzuv orvuli, or if he said to two of his servants, go out and put an Eruv for me. One placed an Eruv for him in the north, and the other one placed an Eruv for him in the south. Then Mahalich Letzofoin Keiruvoi Ladorim, Veladorim Keiruvoi Latzofoin. Then you have to be Machmir on both directions. Let's just finish reading the words of the Gemara, then we'll explain. Ve'imitsu Alovas Atchum, but if the place that he is now is exactly 2,000 amis away from both of the tchums, lo yozuz memekoimoi, he cannot move from his place. Which means as follows. A person, when a tchum is valid, a person has 2,000 amis on any side of the tchum, of the Eruv, sorry, any side of the Eruv, 2,000 amis, not an amma more. So if a person's place of residence is in his house, and then if he makes no Eruv, he can go 2,000 amis north, 2,000 amis south. If he puts an Eruv 2,000 amis north, then where his home is now is actually at the end of the 2,000 limit from that Eruv. So he cannot go one amma south from where he is now. He can walk 2,000 amis till his Eruv north, and then another 2,000 amis north from that. And the same with the south. Since this person has two Eruvs, and only one of them is valid, and we don't know which one, we have to be machmir for both. Which means that you have to put a circle round. Let's assume a circle just to make it more comfortable. We've already discussed previously if a tchum is a circle or a square, but he'll have to make a 2,000 circle around the northern Eruv, a 2,000 circle around the southern Eruv, and the only place he can actually walk is the area that's overlapped by both circles. So, for example, if the north Eruv was put 1,000 amis away from his home, and the south Eruv was put 1,000 amis south from his home, then the two Eruvs will overlap each other. There'll be 1,000 amis overlapped by the two Eruvs, because each Eruv has 2,000 amis in any direction, and the Eruv is only 2,000 amis apart from each other. So if the two Eruvs were put 1,000 amis north and 1,000 amis south, which means 2,000 amis apart from each other, then they're actually going to overlap each other 2,000 amis. However, if the Eruv was put 2,000 amis to the north and 2,000 amis from the south, they're not going to overlap each other at all, and the point in between the two Eruvs, which is where he is now, is actually at the southernmost point of the north Eruv and the northernmost point of the south Eruv. In that case, he cannot move at all. And that's what it says in this Braisa. And from this Braisa, that even though you have a Sofik, it's not defined, it's not clear which Eruv is valid, which one is not. Nonetheless, the Braisa says, we have to assume, or we have to at least take into a possibility that both or any one of them are valid. According to Shmuel, this makes a lot of sense. Shmuel says, if you have an undefined Eruv, it can still be valid. You just have to take into account all possibilities. According to Rav, Rav says a non-defined Eruv is not an Eruv at all. So if so here, the fact that it's not defined which one is valid, which one is not, according to Rav, we would assume neither of them are valid at all. That's not what the Braisa says. Leima teva tiufta de Rav. Why is this Braisa not a refutation against Rav? Answers the Gemara, Rav, Tanahu Palig, Rav, even though he lived in the times of the Amiroim, but he has the status of a Tana, and therefore he can argue with the Braisa. It's true this Braisa seems not to be following Rav's approach, but Rav has got no issue arguing with the Braisa. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.